Yeah, so I have, when Lindsay invited me, so thank you, Lindsay, I was trying to get my mind back into being a mother of little ones because I have 17, 14, and 10. And so right now we're in homecoming season. I don't know, brace yourself, mothers. And I have three girls, so buying dresses is like a tightrope, like walking on tightrope here. And so we're talking about boys and dating and high school stuff and no fun. So this is good. This is a good time. So I have a fourth grader and I'm just telling her, please, let's just stay right here. Fourth grade is good. Let's just pause here. But when I was thinking back of being a mother of little ones back, way back in diapers and preschool drop-offs and pickups and that busy season, I was just wondering, what did I need to hear? And honestly, as I prayed, the only thing, the memory that came up into my head was how, I don't know how to word this well, but I did go to church and I was part of ministries, but I was so spiritually dry within. You know, I don't know if it was just the busyness of life, and not having the time to take in God's word. And, I don't know, that might not be you. It definitely was me. And that's why I was like, oh, I just really needed someone to speak to my soul, deep within my soul. I needed that because I believe that if you tend to your soul, you are a better mother instantly, a better wife instantly. So God landed me here in Psalm 103. So back when I was a young mom, I was like, oh, what is this feeling? And we could blame a lot. I didn't even know it was my soul that needed tending to. I could blame my hormones, of lack of sleep, or just the business of the day. But clearly, God wanted to fill me up. He knows what we need, and he wants to speak to us today. So I love Psalm 103. Is it up there? Okay, great. Psalm 103. And I spent the summer trying to memorize this with a group of ladies, and we were all so blessed. So I only have time to go over five verses, but if you have the chance and that opportunity, I would tell you to meditate on the rest. Just take it in and memorize it, for it's so good. So before I begin, let me pray. Dear Jesus, I thank you so much. You are truly our good, good Father. And you, Lord, know. You see us. You see us, Lord. Not just the things that are on the outside. You see our hearts, our minds, our souls, Lord. And only you know how much we need, we're in need of you. And so, Father, we are desperate here today. And we ask, oh, Father, may you speak to us. May you renew our passion for you once again. May you fill our cups to overflowing. Please, Father, it is you that we need. It is you that we want more of, Lord. We might not even know it. So overwhelm us today, Lord. Overwhelm us in mighty ways today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's start with verse one. I feel kind of short. This thing is tall. So I'm like feeling a little bit short. But anyway, verse one. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. So the first thing we notice is bless the Lord. How do we bless the Lord? God is supposed to bless me. Oh, it's okay. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'll adjust. So we are used to God bless me, God bless me, God bless me. But here, the psalm, the writer is King David. He's saying, bless the Lord. How do we bless him? And the thought is, he's our father. And you guys are mothers. How do your kids bless you? Right? You just think about that. How do your kids bless you? Anyone? Anyone? When do you feel blessed by your kids? Oh, when they tell us. Yes, that is very sweet. When they obey. When they obey. Yes. Bingo. Yes. Yes. You bless me today. Yes. Anyone else have any examples of how do your kids bless you? When they're kind to their siblings. Do you hear the biblical message at all? Oneness, yes, God loves that. Anyone else? When they keep their eyes on you and they follow you. Yes, I love that. Yes. That blesses God for sure, right? All these examples. You know, for me in my house, maybe in my stage of life, just a thank you. Just a thank you blesses me. I'm like, oh, that spoke to me, right? Just thank you. Just an acknowledgement of how you have, that you see my hard work, my dinner, the food that I went shopping for, and it just didn't pop up on the table, right? That they know this and they acknowledge. And so that blesses me. The same thing with God. He's blessed by his children who sees him, who notices, who acknowledges his blessing, who loves one another, who obeys him, who sees him and watches him to follow him. Those are the ways we can bless God. The second part is, who is King David talking to here in verse 1? Bless the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to his soul here. He's not crazy. I don't know if I talk to myself all the time. So he's talking to his own soul. And now we know about King David. He was a musician. He wrote songs, right? He worshiped all the time. He was like the best body worshiper ever, right? To the part where his clothes fell off. Do you guys remember that story? So he was so passionate about God. But here he's saying, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. He was saying, you know what? Hourly worship is not enough. It's not enough. The lip service is not enough. He wanted to bless God from within. And not just from within, deep within his soul, but then we go on and he says, but with all that is within me, all that is within me, bless your holy name. And now before you think David is this perfect model of a Christian man that we cannot relate to, right? What is he saying here? He's saying, well, actually, I'm not there, Lord. He's saying, actually, I am not worshiping with all within me. It's not praising your name. Actually, my soul, something's wrong with my soul, Lord. Right? Now is he more relatable? I don't know about you. It's so relatable to me. Because even though I want to praise God, sometimes there are moments where I'm like, oh, it's just not there. I'm just not feeling it. Right? Just not feeling it. And then we go on to verse 2. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And here David realizes why his soul is not worshiping God, because he's forgotten. He's forgotten. He's forgotten all that God has given to him. He's just forgotten. Now, Beyonce, any Beyonce fan? Wrong crowd, right? Okay, don't worry. Don't kick me out yet. She wrote this song, I Woke Up Like This. Anyone? I Woke Up Like This? Flawless. Some of you guys are nodding your head. Now, don't Google the song. I don't know what other lines or lyrics or words she used. I just know that one line. I Woke Up Like This, Flawless. And the only reason I know the song is because I have teenage girls. And they love memes. You guys know memes, funny memes, okay? So when she wrote this song, she was saying that she woke up flawless, beautiful, right? Didn't need to brush her hair, put on makeup. She woke up flawless, right? And we're like, But all these teenage girls and people started to post pictures of themselves waking up, and it wasn't flawless. And I love that age because they could make fun of themselves, right? And be real. And so, but that is true. Isn't it true? We do not wake up flawless. We do not. No one, hopefully, right, will say, I woke up like this. But we took time. We took time. Now, I was a Christian. I've been a Christian for 30 plus years. And to tell you the truth, sometimes I feel like, oh, I woke up like a Christian, right? Like after 30 years, I just feel like, oh, I woke up and my life is good. You know, I'm a Bible study teacher, I have a good husband, I have three beautiful girls. I just woke up like this. But the truth is, I didn't. The truth is, I've forgotten the mighty works that God has done into my life. And we can't forget. I can't forget. You can't forget. And so I just want to take this time to tell you where God has brought me out of. I did not wake up like this, for sure. When I was a child, I grew up, and my father, he was an alcoholic and very abusive. So every night when he comes home for dinner, the house was quiet, and you could feel the tension. You could just feel the tension. And we would sit at the dinner table, And no one would say anything. We would eat quietly, and he would be drinking his Johnny Walker, right? And we knew either he's going to be a happy drunk, and we just laugh and be silly, or he's going to be a very angry drunk, and that would turn awful. And unfortunately, a lot of evenings, he became an angry drunk. He'll pick something and to be angry about. And because I was the youngest of four children, they would lock me up because they didn't want me to get hurt. He was definitely very physically abusive as well. And so from my memories of 2 to 6, I remember being in my bedroom and trying to tune out what I hear on the outside of that door. I would, and it would end in many different ways. It would end either I could hear him slamming door and leaving and driving off, and then hear my sisters and my mom cry themselves to sleep. And then we'll look at the mess in the morning, pretty much. Or I would get a knock at the door, and it would be a police officer because the neighbors called. And then he would say, "Are you okay?" And I was taught to smile and say, "Yeah, I'm okay." But when in reality, I was not okay, right? I was not the one being abused, but all the sounds and seeing my sisters and my mom, I mean, I might as well have been physically abused. It was emotionally and mentally difficult. Finally, when my mom decided after that, she stuck it out because for us, for the kids, but when she realized it was more dangerous to stay with my father for the kids, she left. She took the brave step, and then we escaped. When we literally escaped with pretty much nothing. And for a mother, a single mother now, of four kids who spoke no English, it was very difficult. And so she worked many jobs, and it was very difficult at home. And so then we had to, you know, as a young child, just experience the desperation of making it, right? Week to week, day by day, month to month, paying the bills and barely making it. It was hard. It was hard. And that night, I remember just thinking, oh, gosh, this is so bad. This is so bad. And on top of our physical darkness and struggles, there was a spiritual one. I grew up as a Buddhist, and I remember very vividly going to temples and sitting in there. And so there was a spiritual darkness in our lives as well. But when I was a junior high, in ninth grade, I guess, I started to wonder what is out there. And I saw youth kids gathering at a church. So I asked my friend, "Do you want to go?" And she says, "Sure." But I didn't tell my mom because she was a Buddhist. I know she's going to say, "No, don't go to church." So my friend and I, we would sneak and we would lie and we would take the bus to church. But one evening, we did, and we had to cross this busy road to get to church. And then as we were crossing, we both get hit by a car. Like literally get hit by a car. I got hit first, and then my friend got hit. So we both got hit. And I was knocked out. And when I woke up, it was every teenage girl's nightmare. All the youth kids were surrounding me. And I looked like I was a mess because I actually had blood coming out from my head. And I broke my jaw, so it felt like I had no teeth. So I'm like, and the boy I like was like staring at me. I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, just take me here, Lord, right? Just take me right now. And that's how I felt. And then, finally the ambulance came. They took me off. And all I could think was, gosh, the first thing I said was, "I hate you, God. I hate you. I knew you weren't real. I knew you were too good to be true. How could you do this? I was doing something good. I was going to church. How could I get hit by a car here?" And I was saying that, like, "I don't believe you. I don't believe you, and I hate you." And then when I went to, you know, and I was also fighting the ambulance people and take me home because my mom cannot afford this. She's going to kill me. She's going to kill me because I lied to her. She's going to kill me because this is going to be costly and we can't afford it. But of course, they didn't listen to me. They took me to the hospital. And then the first thing that I told the nurse, like, "I can't see my mom. I can't see my mom." You know, I don't know. Hopefully you guys don't know how that feels to have a mother who's single. You don't want to hurt her. She has enough problems. I just didn't want to hurt her. And I knew she'd be angry. And I was so angry at God for this. So the nurse, you know, she's like, okay, okay. And then after a while, she's like, you really should see your mom. Your mom is really worried about you. You really should see your mom. And I was like, okay. And she came in, and the first thing she said was, do not be angry at God. My Buddhist mom, she came in, and she said, do not be angry at God. I was surprised. But clearly, God was doing something in her own heart. And she remembered missionaries that came to her country when she was young, and she remembered Catholic, when we first immigrated to U.S., helping her and telling her about God. And I think God was using all of that to speak to her. And this was it. This was right here. And from that, I don't know exactly what happened, but she went home and she threw away all of the Buddhist things that we had at home. Like, she just threw it away. And then she started going to church. How can you explain that? I can't explain that. And then of course, she allowed me to start going to church as well. And at a youth event, clearly I wasn't a believer. I'd never been to church. So whatever the pastor said, I had no understanding what he was saying. It just felt like, yeah, 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 yeah. And I was just waiting for the fellowship at the end. Like, right? I was waiting to, like, socialize like every youth kid. But in the middle of that silence, I heard God speak my name. Anne, I want to be your father. Now, was it audible? No, because I looked around. I was like, did anyone else hear that? But everyone else was like zoomed out, you know, zoned out. But God was speaking, Anne, I want to be your father. Now, let me tell you the amazing part of this. As growing up, I just acted tough. Like I needed no one. I needed nothing. I was perfectly fine. That's my, you know, front. And so I told no one how desperately I longed for a father. No one. Not even my mom, because it would break her heart, right? So it was a secret I had. It was such a longing in my heart. I would fantasize in my head of having a father, like a totally, like being to hug him, being able to be held by him, right? Just all those things that I was so desperately missing. I told no one. So when God says, I want to be your father, he knew exactly what he was saying and what was going on in my heart and my soul. And he reached me, and he got my attention. And so that's when I became saved. I know your testimony might not seem like it's like mine. You know, mine seems so drastic. But we all started at the same place. We're dead in our sins. And God came and spoke your name and called you alive to receive his grace and mercy, right? We're all there. And so we'll go into verse 3 and 5, and remember God's benefits that we cannot forget. If you're a Christian and you've been a Christian for a while, continue to share. Tell yourself the gospel. You need to remember that you didn't wake up like this, right? That term. But the process and all that God has done so that you can become a Christian. For those who, like, I don't know what you're talking about, please listen to God as he's calling your name today. Please listen to him as we go through the five benefits in verses 3 and 5. Verse 3, who forgives all your iniquities. I love that we are starting here because ultimately you cannot receive any other benefit unless you receive this one. That God forgives all your sins by the blood of Christ. Free. He paid for it. All you have to do is ask for forgiveness. And I remember so much of being forgiven. I felt like my shame was lifted off. I felt like I was so dirty and I was so, like, this heavy condemnation was upon me all my childhood. But to hear God's forgiveness of me and he lifts off that, I felt clean. I felt so clean. Do you know what I'm talking about? Where all I can do was rejoice and thank God and worship and praise from within my soul, because I felt it. I knew it. But the problem is, as I became a Christian longer and longer and longer, that feeling, that excitement to be forgiven, started to wear off, you know? And God has been convicting me of that lately. Like, why aren't you repenting? You know? And then I'm like, I have things to repent about. Because my sins look different, right? when you're a young Christian or and when you're not a Christian, our sins are out there, right? Cursing and all sorts of stuff, right? We're all out there and it's dirty. But something happens and we get deceived that we start to have these acceptable sins that we kind of tolerate in our lives, right? Envy, jealousy, pride, you know, independence, those things that no one's going to be able to see but you feel the weight of that. We need to repent. We need to repent. It doesn't matter if you're a Christian for a day or 100 years, we still always need to receive God's forgiveness, and he's there to forgive and make us clean. The second is he heals, who heals all of our diseases. And I hope you're catching the awe. All your sins. There is nothing that he cannot forgive you of. And that he heals all your diseases. And yes, physical diseases, yes, he is definitely the healer of that. But he's also the healer of the emotional, mental, relational diseases. Now, if you know my childhood, like I gave you a brief story of, I was a hot mess. I was a mess. I need healing in every area of my life. And God, I could testify. He heals that. He heals that. I was plagued with insecurity and the lack of peace. I don't know if you guys understand what that feels like when there's no peace in your heart. You know, you're always anxious and worried and scared. I was always so scared. I was so scared my dad was going to come back. I remember just being so scared all the time. You know, and then having a single mother, never feeling safe, right? She's never home. I need a lot of healing, and God has healed me. I thought I would never feel like I would be done with fear and anxiety. But I got to tell you, gosh, when I started to learn about God's strength and his love for me, I started to relax and experience his peace. So he does heal all your diseases, not the physical ones, but the emotional, the mental, and relational too. My relationship, because I didn't have a father, my relationship with everyone else was affected by it. But he is the healer of all of that. Verse 4, who redeems your life from the pit? I describe my childhood as dark, dark, muddy pit. But God redeems it. He doesn't just take you out of it, but he gives you a new identity. The last time I saw my father, I was 16, and I was a Christian by then. And so when he contacted us, and we haven't heard him, I didn't see him. I didn't talk to him for years and years and years. And he wanted to see me. So I thought, oh, God, you're so good. For surely you have redeemed his life. Surely he's a Christian now, and now you're bringing us back together. That's what I thought at 16 and as a new Christian. So I was like, yes, I want to meet my father. And my sisters and my brother, they did not want to meet him. They were still so angry, and they're like, you sure? And I said, yes, I want to go meet him. And so I took my my mom and I, we drove up to Philadelphia. And then I really expected to see someone new. But as soon as I smelt him, I knew nothing has changed. I don't know. I hope you guys don't know what I'm talking about. But there's this certain smell of alcoholics. It's this old alcohol that's just in their skin and their pores. And I, as soon as I smelled that, I knew nothing has changed. And then all these memories came back. And as we're sitting at the table again, he's drinking his Johnny Walker. It was this flash of memories of, like, I couldn't take it. I couldn't take it. I was angry again. I was crying. I didn't want to talk to him. I didn't want to listen to him. And then his last words I ever heard from him, he said, because he saw how much I hated him. He said, okay, well, no matter where you go, remember this one thing. My blood runs in you. And I was like, oh, gosh. And I ran out the door, and we were driving back, and I was just crying. Because the worst thing he could ever say was that, that his DNA runs in me. Because ultimately, as a Christian, my fear was I was going to be like him. I was going to become like him. That I was destined to be like him. I was destined to be like him as a parent. I was destined to be like him as a spouse. I was destined to be like him. And my mom, I mean, she's a wonderful lady. And like I told you, she worked 3-4 jobs. But when she had it with us, she knew exactly what to say. And she would say, oh, you're just like your father. And she knew that that was like, we were all like, what? That's the worst thing you could ever say to us. Because that was our fear, ultimately, that we would become just like our father. And there would be no way out. But as I was driving, God said, what did your father say to you? His blood runs all through my veins, and he's right. I can't get rid of him. And he's saying, what did I say of you? That what did I do on that cross? He shed his blood for me. He shed his blood for me. And it never clicked. Yes. Yes. Now your blood runs through my vein, right? He redeems us from our pit, not to make a better version of your old ways and your old self, to make you a completely new creation, your completely new identity. I'm no longer my father on earth's child. I am my heavenly father's child. And boy, did he catch me there. Because now I just long and I love every verse in the Bible that tells me that I am being made into the image of Christ. Love that. Love that. That my old ways, my fleshly ways, my DNA that I physically receive, it is gone. No longer am I enslaved by it. I am a new creation. So I did not wake up like this. It is by the blood of Christ that I can be married 24 years, which is a miracle. Now, just tell you, I didn't make it easy for my husband. I did not make it easy for my husband. Like, I brought all that baggage that you would think I would have. I brought it all into my marriage. I really did. He had the opposite childhood than I did, so he had no idea what was coming to him. But I say he's the kindest, gentle man ever. And honestly, when I see him with my girls, it's heals my soul. You know, the way he talks to them, the way he holds them, the way he plays with them. I can't imagine. God has redeemed my life. And not that we have a perfect marriage, and I find things to get mad at him about, but God reminds me what a gift he is. Like, one thing I always get mad at him, he's forgetful. So he can't hold an argument. I mean, that's a great thing, right? So the next day is a new day for him. He doesn't remember the argument or anything. And I'm like, why don't you remember? Because having a new conversation over and over again. But what a gift it was to me. Because he doesn't remember how hard I made it for him. And he just forgives me without even knowing he's forgiving me. But he gives me time to grow. Just with the gentleness and kindness, and allow God to do the work in me. So I'm really thankful for him. And I should not be a mother of 3 girls. I did not even imagine that I would be living in Northern Virginia. I could not even dream of that, and having a home and living a normal life, because I really thought I would be on the streets somewhere. I didn't really think I was going to even survive my teenage years, to tell you the truth. Because there was so much going on in my heart and my mind that God has healed me from. But God is the Redeemer. He does redeem us from the pit. He also crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. Jesus wore that crown of thorns so that you don't have to. Instead of that crown of thorns of shame and punishment and condemnation, he gives you a crown of steadfast love and mercy. And I love that. If you guys would sit on that a little bit. Steadfast love and mercy. His love never changes for you. I needed to hear that. I wanted to hear that. That no matter your worst moments, his love never changes for you. You know those days when you're yelling at your kids, you know, and you're just out of control? Guess what? His love never changes for you. It is steadfast. He loves you on your good days. He loves you in your worst days. He loves you. Can you imagine that security that he has given to you? And his mercy, giving to you what you don't deserve. You never hear that anymore. You get what you deserve, right? That's what we go by. You get what you deserve. But thanking God, he does not give to us what we deserve. I deserve nothing. I deserve punishment, right? I was so ugly and sinful. I deserve nothing. But he gives you mercy and steadfast, and he crowns you. So if you guys, ladies, could imagine walking around with a crown, wouldn't you walk differently, right? You're starting, you know, standing up. And I have three girls, so I'm talking about this all the time because they're struggling with their identity, right? Their self-image, their insecurities, and they're just kind of like, walk like God has crowned you because that is the truth. Walk in his security of his love and mercy. And then lastly, who satisfies you with good so that youth is renewed like an eagle's. Now, in my childhood, I could say there were so many things that was wrong about it, but the one thing I can't forget and was one of the worst things was the feeling of that emptiness. I don't know if you guys understand what that feels like. Emptiness. There's an emptiness in my soul. But it is only God who could satisfy and fill that emptiness. It's not more things. It's not more things. And as a child and as I was growing up and I was even becoming a young Christian, I was asking myself, only if I had a father, only if I had a better childhood, only if we didn't have to worry about finances, right? Only if I get to live in this house, or only if my husband was like this would satisfy me. But those are not what satisfies us. It is God. It's God. He is the good. He is the good that he wants to satisfy you with. So I hope you come to him knowing that he is the one that satisfies. And I love the words, youth is renewed like the eagles. Anything with youth renewed, I buy it, right? On the store shelf, youth renewed, young, anti-age, I get it because I'm at that age, right? But here, God is saying that he renews you. And then you wonder about like the eagles. Now, we love eagles. They're beautiful because they soar. Right? They're not meant to walk around. Remember that. When you know Christ, when you make him his Lord and Savior, he gives you the Holy Spirit to live in you. So you will soar, not struggle and be taped down and trapped into this world. Right? He made you overcomers. And your youth is renewed over and over again with that passion. And as I was preparing for this, I was just thinking, gosh, Lord, may you renew our hearts, our love for you. For those who are been a Christian for many, many, many years, you know, when your love grows old and it dies out, you don't feel satisfied with anything. I'm praying that God is speaking to your souls today. For those who have no idea what it means to have a relationship with Christ, I pray, like me, in that room as a youth, you would hear God calling your name and telling you to come. Come, come closer, come deeper. I see you. I know you. I know exactly what you need, and it is me. I hope you will hear that. Let me pray. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless your holy name. O Lord, this is the cry of our hearts today. Please, Lord, I thank you for your grace and mercy, for you know there are so many things that we're struggling with right now, so many things we're balancing and so many things that are distracting us and so many things we're just running after, Father, and filling up our hearts with. But Lord, you know and you see deep within our souls, we want you. Come and save us, Lord, for we cannot save ourselves. Lord, come and stir our hearts, for we cannot stir ourselves. Oh Lord, come, oh Lord Jesus, and speak to our souls, for we need you to do this miracle, Father. To call us your child. Renew us, O Lord, in our passion for you. I'm sorry that sometimes our love, Father, for you has grown cold and old. Please stir us up once again with great passion, for it's rightful for us to jump up and down, praising your holy name from all within us. Please do that in our hearts today, Lord. I thank you for my sisters in this room. And I pray, O Father, speak to them. Even as they're going home today, speak to them. Even in the business of their lives, speak to them. May they hear you calling them closer, Lord, deeper, because you are their good, good Father, Lord. I thank you for loving us with a steadfast love, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.